The San Jose Sharks fall to the Lightning 4-1 on home ice. We get a Duclair scoring and just an insane night by an insane player in Nikita Kucherov. We'll talk about all that and more after this. But first, if you want to be a part of the show and join the conversation, chat with us and fellow Sharks fans on the page or the app. Of course, following us on all the social media garbages, that being the YouTube, the X Machine, Instagram, Facebook, Threads, Reddit, Discord, and all the shenanigans that go down on the TikToks. Find everything and more at TealTownUSA.com. And of course, if you want to help support the pod, at Tealtown USA on the Venmo machine helps us out. I think the new fund is to get Eric a new laptop so he does not crap and get the wrath of AJ. Well, one guy who has wrath, but not towards me, which is always a good thing. Mr. Ian Reed, how are you doing this evening, Ian?
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
We're here because we have to be. No, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, I think this evening's game highlighted exactly what I wish of the Sharks team. If they're going to lose all the games, lose them like this, where in that first period you get kind of a weird fluky goal, but you're hanging in there with the Lightning. Nicholas Paul with his 19th of the season, you know, that for a team that's not firmly entrenched in the playoff hunt, I mean, I know that there's still some movement there, but I cannot believe the depth that the team has. And it's just, you go through each line and there's somebody who can just light you up. Ian, I don't, is it just that they're like LA from previous years? Well, they'll just flip the switch and they'll just win the thing.
Yeah, I think that the Lightning are kind of a team. Like, there's a few teams in the East that I really hate when it's like bracket time and you're trying to like figure out who's going to win in the playoffs. I don't think very highly of this Lightning team, but to me, they're kind of like the Boston Bruins. They're just a team that, like, until they're dead and in the ground, I just
the cockroach.
Right, like they always, like, it just always scares me when I'm like trying to like figure out who's going to win a series, because like those teams are like, they're just teams that I don't think they'll win everything, but like they're good enough to completely fuck up whatever I'm trying to do.
Exactly. And then, you know, the nice thing is the Sharks actually would kind of respond pretty fairly quickly with a nice, really nice pass by Jacob McDonald through the skates on a 2-on-1 to William Eklund. Eklund just launching it with no regard for who or what was in his way, and ends up finding the back of the net. It's his 11th of the season. Good to see him be rewarded, you know, at getting back to his natural position, I think, on the wing. And, I mean, it's good to see the team strike back. Again, I think I'm illustrating the point that I want to see the team lose in a more structured manner, and I think we definitely got that in the first couple of periods. Actually, they could have been up if it hadn't been for Andre Vasilevskiy. And, I mean, the guy, they were kind of highlighting it on the broadcast tonight, but the guy is just one, and he's not only one on a team kind of level, but individually he's posted some really, really outstanding stats for this era of goaltending.
Yeah, I mean, it was nice that the Sharks decided that, oh, there's an NHL goalie in net, so I guess we should play defense now. You know, when poor Magnus Crona's out there, what's defense? I don't know her, but oh no, Mackenzie Blackwood's back. We like him. I guess we can play some defense now. I think it was a little bit too of Tampa Bay kind of playing with their food a little bit. Yeah. I mean, the Sharks are a team that I think, especially after the way they lost in Nashville, you kind of expected them to have a little bit of a bounce back and a little bit of more structure perhaps to try and, you know, because obviously coming off a game like that, like that's super embarrassing. These guys are all competitors. They don't want to lose games like that. So I think that I'm not surprised that the Sharks looked better this game, after that last game, but Man, I mean, after all the shit hockey they played in front of Magnus Krohn, I guess it was nice that they actually like Mackenzie Blackwood enough to at least play two periods in front of him.
Yes, and I you're absolutely right. And Dave B. Pilot pointing out Eklund's position is naturally a center.
Yeah, he's a natural center.
So I think if I'm not mistaken, when he first joined the SEL, he joined when he was, you know, when he was a underager in the men's league, played on the wing first, and then was converted to a center.
I can't remember that weird year where they got relegated to the Allsvenskan.
Right.
I'm not sure. He might have played a little bit of wing there because, again, when you're playing younger guys, like, I think the thing that a lot of people need to remember about guys when they're playing in leagues like the SHL, when they're, you know, like younger than draft year.
I said SEL. That's
fine.
Wrong league.
But, you know, like, those guys generally don't get a ton of minutes and they kind of get played wherever. So I can't speak to it because I didn't watch a ton of SHL games. He might have played some wing there, and it wouldn't surprise me because, again, you kind of just get thrown in, you know, limited minutes trying to see how, you know, guys are going to fit. So he might have, but I can't speak to that.
Ricky's saying he's always been a C, even back when he was playing back with Holt and Raymond.
Yeah, it's possible. Like I said, I can't speak to it. I don't watch a ton of SHL.
Yeah, I could have sworn I heard, maybe I'm just making things up at this point, but I really thought that he broke in the SHL at the very beginning of his career on the wing, but I could be wrong there. But going into that second period, I mean, it was, you know, all knotted up again, some good goaltending. Really not a lot of work for Blackwood. Honestly, I felt the Sharks played pretty decently. I like the fact that they were retrieving pucks. I think the thing that I noticed tonight was a lot of interceptions. Well, you know, I think, like you had said, Ian, Tampa Bay was definitely guilty of playing with their food, right? A lot of east-west plays, yeah. A lot of ability for the Sharks to kind of make those interceptions in the neutral
zone.
And
I think the other thing with the Sharks, too, is I don't think Tampa Bay's not the, like, you look at the weapons they have and you would think they're a lot quicker team. And I feel like the Sharks have played well this season against teams that aren't the quickest of teams. I think they've made some of those games look a lot more competitive. I feel like when the game speeds up, that's when they really end up in a lot of trouble. But like, I find they've played teams that aren't the fastest. I find they've looked more competitive against. But again, like, you know, this is a Tampa team that knows when to turn it on and turn it on. They did.
Oh yeah. In that third period, and you know, we won't mince words, Braden Point, 34 seconds in, power play goal, 39th of the season. I mean, at the end of it, Ian, I think he's probably going to be in the hall with Stamkos and Kucherov. I think those three will probably make it. And I think Vasilevskiy and Hedman. And I think that will put the bow on this era of Lightning hockey that's done really well. Because, I mean, what more can you ask for from Braden Point as far as the way he plays the game?
Yeah, I mean, Braden Point had a really good game. Nikita Kucherov's insane. I'm really mad at Kucherov, though. Like, he, so for those that don't know, every time I've matched up against Jerk this season in fantasy, Jerk has completely spanked me, and it's been really bad. So now it's playoffs. We're in like the whatever, not the final, the round before the final, and he's and I was doing really well until tonight. I think he's now caught up. He's probably gonna spank me again because fucking Jerk.
Well, this coming in from the NHL PR at PR underscore NHL, Nikita Kucherov with his third career 80 plus assist season. Others with 3+ seasons of 80 or more assists. Wayne Gretzky with 14.
Yeah, Gretzky.
Mario with 6. Orr with 5. Coffee with 4. Oates with 3. And Denny Savard with 3. So he joins Denny and
some
Adam.
Good company.
Oh my gosh. I mean, look, he's all but got the bust already there in Toronto, and they're just waiting for the red velvet to be cut. But I mean, just kind of adding to that, I mean, he sets up the goal from Braden, and again, they know how to turn it on. Anthony Duclair would end up getting his 20th goal of the season. Good for Dookie to really get up there, and I mean, honestly, just fit so seamlessly with Kucherov and Point. That looks like a really dangerous line and a really good pickup for Tampa Bay. I really like what they've done with that line.
Yeah, you know, it's like I said earlier, it's like this isn't a team that I expect to do a ton in the playoffs, but like they're never, you know, they're never dead until they're dead. And I think Anthony Duclair is really fit in on there. Obviously, he heated up at the right time, goes to the Tampa Bay Lightning and continues to keep going. Like he's been on a tear like since the trade, which is good. I mean, which is obviously good for the Lightning. I don't know. I'm fascinated to see what this Lightning team does. It's going to come a lot to, I think, who they have to play in the first round. I don't want this Lightning. Like, I don't think I would want this Lightning team in the first round. I don't think
if it's Tampa Bay, if it's Tampa Bay, Toronto, I'm going to laugh so hard.
Toronto, Boston is pretty much locked, but I'd have to go and take a look at the standings there quick. But yeah, I mean, like, again, I don't think this Tampa Bay team's a Stanley Cup contender per se, but I think that they could make some teams really miserable on their way there.
Yeah. So I mean, honestly, just kind of some more, some more locker room talk. And he's obviously pretty elite. Thought RD did what we could to stop a McDonald on Kucherov. I mean, yeah, I mean, what the hell are you going to do? McDonald, he's saying, I'm focusing on the positives. I don't swell on the bad stuff at this point. That's not me. Well, I'm glad somebody's able to get rid of all this crappy negativity because, you know, I've been steeped in it all season, it feels like.
Yeah. Elite forward Jacob McDonald.
Oh my goodness. Well, if it wasn't enough, Braden Point thought he would just put the exclamation point on the night, getting his 40th of the season, 1402, with Nikita Kucherov, of course, you know, getting another assist, and Anthony Duclair getting an assist as well. And that caps off your evening. The Tampa Bay Lightning beat the Sharks 4-1. And if Mackenzie Blackwood is banking on this game for a showcase for an additional contract, I would not look very far because
He's got another year left, so it's not too concerning for him.
But 8-10.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
rough.
I can't really pin this on him, though. I mean, the team kind of collapsed in front of him
in
the third period. Tampa Bay just kind of said, okay, I guess we should play some hockey finally. We waited two periods. We should probably do something. I mean, Tampa Bay, you look at the Lightning. I mean, they're pretty comfortably in a playoff spot at this point, in my opinion. I mean, there are a couple teams that are chasing, but there's a lot of ground to make up there for, you know, I mean, obviously they're ahead of the Red Wings by a couple of points and they might jockey for position a little bit there. But I mean, it looks like yeah, the Capitals, you know, they're doing okay, but they've lost their last game. The Islanders, who looked like they were super coming on, have now lost three in a row. So it's looking a little problematic there for their late push. I think, you know, obviously they have some games in hand too on the Red Wings, who they have 2 points on. So it's, you know, I think they're pretty comfortably in a playoff spot at this point, but you don't want to back into the playoffs either, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm just looking at the stats right now and standings, and you know, I could see Detroit kind of jockeying, but again, I think that they're still missing some ingredient there. And you know, you coming over onto the Metro side, like you said, I think New York is just running out of runway, and the Capitals, I don't know, just kind of mushy middle. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
They're teams that like have kind of heated up at the right time. Like I said, I mean, Islanders not so much. Like they had a run and now they've pretty significantly cooled off of it. I mean, the Capitals making a late push, but I think it's too little, too late.
Yeah. Well, we'll round off with a couple of Eklund quotes, and then I think there were a couple topics that Ian wanted to hit up. So Eklund saying, "I haven't played my best hockey, but today was a step in the right direction." And he says he feels good. There's a lot of games, a lot of good games. We've been grinding.
Yeah, I mean, Eklund, you know, is a guy who I think who I like a lot, right? I think that the problem with William Eklund is like it's he was the first piece, and I think a lot of people think like he's the piece, and he's not the piece. He was just the first piece
Right.
of the rebuild, right? I like William Eklund. I like a lot of what he's done this season. I think that, you know, a lot of people obviously are going to say like he's got one of the worst plus minuses in the league. You know, but like on this team, Jesus Christ. But he's, you know, like David Quinn has put him up against a lot, especially with the trades, injuries, etc. You know, David Quinn has put up against some of the toughest competition that he's, you know, on the other opponent, on the opponent's team. And I think that, you know, he's kind of learning on the job. And yeah, it hasn't gone, I don't think it's gone absolutely swimmingly for Eklund. But I don't think he's been as bad as everyone says he's been either. Like, I think you're asking, you know, switching from playing the wing most of the season, switching him to center, and then putting him up against like some of the top centers in the NHL. Obviously, I think you kind of expect a guy to get kind of fed his lunch a little bit in Eklund's position. I don't think his, you know, I think his line mates have been inconsistent. There's been a lot of moving around with his line mates too, David Quinn trying to find some combination to make this team look respectable, to obviously varying degrees of failure on that. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not as down as Eklund as I feel like a lot of other people are, but I don't look at like Eklund as like the centerpiece of this either.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, it's a lot to ask for you know, a couple of kids in Eklund and Bortolo to try and, you know, turn a franchise around. I think they have had the cards also stacked against them with the amount of injuries that the Sharks have had this year and just not being able to put them in positions to excel because of necessity.
Yeah, I mean, this is a bad team. Like, there's I don't think I'm telling anyone, you know, it's something they don't already know. This is a really bad team. This was a bad team coming into the season healthy. You add all the injuries in, and this is a really bad team. But not bad enough that we can, you know, that there hasn't been other call-ups. Like, I'm kind of surprised that we haven't seen some other guys get called up because they have a few call-ups left.
Yep.
I think they've only used one. I think they called Bartle up after the trade. I think that's it.
Right. Well, let's move on to happier subjects, or in this case, not so happy subjects. Ian, what was it they wanted to kind of discuss on the show?
Oh, well, because people are all buzzing on Twitter. So Pierre Maguire, I don't know what the podcast was, so I apologize for that. Basically said that if like basically shitting on the Sharks rebuild, like if you're looking at this team, you know, and you look at the guys, then they think the rebuild's in trouble. And my thoughts on this are pretty simple, right? I think it depends on like when you think the rebuild starts versus when it actually did. For the Sharks, right? Obviously, like there was a couple years where the Sharks were still like, yeah, we're not rebuilding, but you know, it's a step back so we can take a step forward, right? So I think if you look at it from like 2020, where the Sharks just started being asked, and if you think that that's where the rebuild started, then I guess I get it. In fairness, 2020 felt like a fucking eternity, so I can understand. Like 2020 feels like so fucking long ago
It does.
because of the pandemic. Like it feels like it like 2020 lasted like 6 years. So I guess if you're in that kind of time warp and you look at the Sharks and you're like, oh well, look, let's see what they've done so far. Yeah, it doesn't look great, but the reality is that the rebuild didn't start till Mike Grier got hired, which was 2 years ago. So in that situation, like, yeah, the rebuild just started. So I, again, like, this is a guy talking who, look at, we talk about East Coast bias in the media all the time. This is a perfect example of East Coast bias, right? Because it's just people talking about shit they don't have any idea what they're talking about because they haven't paid close enough attention. Like, oh, well, the Sharks have been shit for 4 years. What's going on there? Oh, the rebuild's not good. Like, It just started. It just started.
No,
I don't understand. And to Mike Greer's credit, I will say this. To Mike Greer's credit, I think he's come in, he's identified the holes in the organization, right? I think he's done a lot through trades to try and shore up the defensive prospects because it was barren. Now, I'm not saying that they're, that this is a group of defensive prospects, but I think he's done a good job of shoring it up. They still need that guy. They need that number one guy. But it's way better than it was, right? Now, I don't know where everyone has the Sharks prospect pool ranked. I've heard that people have them up in the top five, and I don't know if I'm there with them yet, but I think that I think that where the Sharks are in the rebuild, if you actually pay attention to the San Jose Sharks, which I understand not a great team to pay attention to at this point, you wouldn't say things like, oh, this rebuild's fucking screwed, man. They've really fucked it. They just started. How do you fuck it?
I wanted to bring up too. That brings a good point. I mean, I was
The Sick Podcast, the eye test is the full name, apparently. There you go.
I was watching The Hockey Guy last night and watching his debrief of the Sharks. And look, he breaks it down in a pretty succinct manner. I think he had a couple of things where he's like, well, the original GM wasn't there. Well, that was the assistant GM who signed the Hurdle contract. So I think he had a couple of missed things, but what I'm saying is, what I'm just saying is that he puts it in a way in which he looks at it objectively, whereas a guy like Pierre Maguire kind of just looks at it from 40,000 feet and assumes a lot and doesn't have a good working knowledge of the organization. So, I think I'm right there with you. Outside of the West Coast media, it's tough for East Coast bias to not be shined through. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
The thing is too, right? Obviously Joe Will signing Hurdle and all that, but we knew but that wasn't the rebuild. The rebuild hadn't started yet, right?
Right.
And we all think that was stupid. I can't imagine. I feel every time I've listened to anyone else talk on this topic, it's gone for maybe that wasn't the best idea to it's an absolute what I say is it was an absolute fucking failure of ownership to allow that to happen before you had a GM in place to decide the direction.
Right. That's why I was saying maybe they should have had a senior vice president or something in the interim, leading the search for the GM and being able to make a call like that. Somebody who has an overarching idea of an architect of the team, you have somebody who will then go and execute that vision, but at least have somebody on the hockey side who can directly talk to Hasso, but is a little bit more removed from the GM's position. I don't know.
And when did the rebuild start? When did we start throwing bodies overboard? It wasn't until Mike Greer came in and then he traded Burns.
Exactly.
And then, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And then he started trading guy.
Yeah, I don't think we can fairly...
Not like what he did with the cap space, Dave's saying in the chat, you may not like what he did with the cap space in the meantime, but he has accumulated some cap, he did accumulate some draft capital. I think, again, I don't have a fucking crystal ball in front of me. I can't tell you that everything he's done is going to fucking turn out amazingly, but at least I can kind of see, he identified defense as a problem, tried
Let's
to bring
also
in some
face
guys
it too. I mean, he had some boat anchors of contracts to work with. I mean, some real, real toughies to move in. So you kind of applaud him for getting rid of as many of the anchors that he did and for only keeping the amount of money that he's kept. I think if I'm looking at it purely from a perspective of bodies in, bodies out and cap space, I'd say he's doing a decent job. Now, I haven't loved all of the returns on the trades, and I haven't loved the fact that, there's been some head scratchers with the way he's done retention and having to throw in picks for retention and that. But
yeah, the Hurdle trade's not good.
Exactly. And so you know, I think that there's definitely room for criticism, but I don't think it's time to fully say that the idea is half baked. I think we're kind of still in the middle of this, right? I mean, I don't see the light. Yeah, I mean, I don't see the light for through the trees for at least another 2 years, you know, at least.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, it's just, it's right. Like, I'm not, and like, again, I'm not saying that like everything is that Micra has done has been A++ 100%, right? No. I can see the ideas, and will it work out? I don't know. Again, I don't have a crystal ball in front of me. I want it to, obviously, because I would much rather talk about playoffs than, you know, than talk about fucking the draft in October, right? Because that's what we're going to do again next year. It's going to be, who's in the draft in October, boys? Like, I don't want that bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, I miss the tank being loud. I miss, you know, I miss that these games in the last stretch actually get, you know, mattered.
Remember the dumb shit we used to come on here and scream about? Fuck, I miss those days.
Oh my gosh. Hand passes and stanchions and, you know, people who refuse to leave the crease and anti Niemis and oh man, yeah, those were the days. I guess we have to look forward to Jumbo's retirement next year though. So the banner, right?
Raise a banner, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
Just not that banner.
Just not that banner. Oh man, I wish he would have done it. I really do. I really, really do. But so it is. All right. And then I guess the last little bit of news is the Sharks giving a tryout for Philippe Alou. Look, I mean, we saw the bile that came out on social media. And it's like,
really sad, right?
It
like,
is.
I think like this thing is like the one of the most non-offensive things that I think that they could do, right? Like, Akeem Alou at this point's like, he's 34 years old. I think giving him a shot to try and, you know, to try and restart his career. Like, he's going to be on, like, I think he's on an ETO till the end of the year. Like, it's not like this is a black ace situation where Akeem Alou is coming to play playoff hockey for San Jose Sharks, right? Like, This is a Barracuda team that is not going to make the playoffs.
Oh,
I don't
sorry,
wanna
not Philippe
upset
Alou.
Anybody?
Sorry,
I don't want to. I don't want to upset anybody.
Alou.
But
I'm sorry,
this, but there will be no playoffs in San Jose at all this year between the Barracuda and the Sharks. I think it's fine. Honestly, I think, you know, giving a guy an opportunity. I like stories like that. Man, this team needs some stories. And this one to me, like, I understand people getting old. I'm not actually going to say I understand, cause I don't understand the vitriol that I kind of seen in reaction to it. But like, this is fine, man. Like, this Barracuda team ain't doing anything. This, you know what I mean? Like, this Barracuda team isn't doing anything. The Sharks team isn't doing anything. It's fine.
Exactly.
It's fine.
I had the Giants on the mind. That's why I was thinking Philippe Alou.
yeah, and then Sleepy saying it's funny how some people were triggered by a PTO, since those are the same people that don't like
care,
you know,
about the
Cuda. Oh no, they're the same people that like will only come out to like just like scream about everything, but like, and it's like, oh well, what happened in the last period? I don't know, but they suck. Because the Sharks are dumb and everything sucks.
And we can't have nice things.
Yeah. Like, you know. Hasso Plattros, so they suck. Everything sucks.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think we should end it on that. Everything sucks.
Everything sucks.
You heard it here first, folks. So in case you missed it and you want to catch us again, smash the like, the sub, and the bell button so you can see this train wreck of a show after it goes live after every single game. Again, we're getting to the end here, folks. Check us out on the YouTube Rewind, of course, and check us out where you get your podcasts, that being the Apple podcast store. You've got the Google Play Store, you've got the aforementioned YouTube Rewind, of course, you got SoundCloud, Spotify, TuneIn, iHeart, and the Odyssey app. And then you can always check it out at tealtownusa.com. So Ian, what are your final thoughts on where the people can find you?
I have to address something in the chat here quick. Tiger's saying you can just tell all the, you know, just why don't I just go out and tell the all our Discord peeps to fuck off. No, I'm not saying, I'm just saying I don't see it. That's all. I mean, I trust you guys. I think you guys are smart. Probably smarter than I am. I just an asshole with a microphone. Fine. It's fine.
And, you know, I guess as far as me, you can use my first name, E-R-I-K-L-A-N-D-I, across all the social media garbage. I guess I'm the guy who can't pronounce names across this microphone. But hey, look, folks, we just got through game number 69. So you know it's good.
Nice.
So for everybody,
that sucks.
So for everybody here at Teal Town USA, you know how we like to end it. We like to keep it real. We like to keep it teal, and we like to keep it real teal. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you after the game on Saturday evening.